Welcome to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. We love to start the week crossing with our old stable mates, Satsy and Badge, and Monday A-grades where you just absolutely put the slipper in. Have a listen to this. We're fair to say this is one of our favourite segments of the week, isn't it, Fletchy boy?
Absolutely. I love it.
Let's do this. Let's cross the border. Let's speak with Badge and Sats. G'day, boys.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello, we're going all right. We're going all right. I don't recall a team who has lost their marquee superstar and still won the competition. Do you blokes, can you guys recall a marquee superstar unavailable and the team still won the comp?
Yeah, can't think of one. I go back to 2006 when...
Brad Clyde, 1990, but we had a few other...
Yeah. Well, in a salary cap era, you know, where you're so dependent on...
Yeah. Well, you weren't getting cash, Badge.
Exactly. You didn't have your own poker machine.
There's only one. Mel had a couple.
I look at 2006. I look at that game, that grand final in 2006 against the Broncos, and I don't know, Wayne just, he's got this ability to find something. When Melbourne were the favourites, and they had Sean Berrigan in hooker and Shane Perry in the halfback position, but he just found something against the Craig Bellamy side that, you know, had a lot of great players that were still finding their way to being, you know, being legitimate. Not legitimate first graders, but superstars of the game. So he finds something. I saw him on Saturday. I was talking to him on Saturday.
Bruce.
And Bruce, yeah.
Audio Bruce.
I know, Bruce. I was talking to him on Saturday, and I saw him in the street, and I walked past. I said, "How are you going?" And he said, "Oh," he asked about Dad in South Sydney. He said, "Well, just tell your dad to enjoy the next 2 weeks."
Wow.
So, you know, he's all primed for first Sunday in October.
Yeah. And I'm with you, Joel. I think this would be absolutely... absolutely huge. I still have an asterisk around that Dragons grand final because the Melbourne Storm, that was the year they were kicked out. And that, I remember watching the first half. Was it Dragons, Roosters?
Yep.
They both were ordinary in the first half. I was just watching it going, Melbourne would have had 20 on them by now. So, yeah, if he can win against Melbourne this year with South, wow.
Hey, boys, can I just say this? It's another time for another edition of this.
This makes me nervous.
This is pretty good. I don't mind this one. A 20-year-old woman will spend the rest of the year in jail after slashing a woman with a knife during an attempted car theft that came undone after realising she couldn't drive a manual. This is Julianne Richards, recently pleaded guilty on two counts of armed robbery and company in the District Court of Beenleigh. So she basically... try to carjack a lady in this is my favourite suburb, Indooroopilly.
Indooroopilly.
Okay, so the woman that was driving the car, she refused to let this lady in, but a struggle ensued, and the woman who slashed with a knife on her left forearm, the 20-year-old who was high on ice, grabbed the woman and swung into the ground, forcing her keys also to fall out. Richards took them, looked in the car, and then said, "Shit, it's a manual," before running away with a group of other ice addicts and decided to get the bus.
So none of them could drive a manual.
Nah. So this was a gang. This was the ice gang. Yeah. And so Indooroopilly. Is that how I'm saying it right?
Yeah, Indooroopilly.
It doesn't, phonetically, it says Indooroopilly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, what happens if Matty Johns turned to crime and he had to start carjacking
people? Buckley's.
Like, he'd be Buckley's. No chance, would he?
That's why in an emergency you should teach your kids to drive a manual.
I taught my daughter. I made her get her manual license at 16.
Well, they still make a bit of it.
So you get them up there.
Is being an ice addict and needing to go about 10 km, is that an emergency, Fletch?
What do you mean?
Is that what you mean? In an emergency, you should be able to.
No. I mean like a real emergency. Sorry, Sats. Are you saying in Queensland you get a license for a manual or an automatic?
If you get your automatic license, you can't drive a manual at all.
That should be the case.
We don't get it down here.
Yeah. I know.
You blokes are strange up there.
but you can get an automatic license down there and then, 12 months later, it's a manual license, something like that?
No, we just play on.
We just march on. Anyway, let's do this. Let's fire up, you know.
The Monday A-Grades with Joel and Fletch.
I'm going to kick us off today, boys, because this is a 12-point turnaround. I could be the A-grader or the other person could be the A-grader. So what we did on Saturday morning Kobe said, oh, let's go and go for a walk and we'll take the kids out to the national park, right? So we took the kids out and it's a beautiful walk and it was actually a really good time. But the dog came. Our dog's as big as your bloody phone. It's such a little thing, right? So what happened when we arrived? You pay for your stay at the national park. We've parked the car and Nashie's stuffing around, right? So we're trying to get this walk going and he's stuffing around doing something else, looking over at the whatever he was looking at. We said, Nash, come on, come on. And he's still stuffing around. So what we did, I said, quick, let's get going and we'll hide behind a shrub. So he's lost us just to sort of scare the tripe out of him, right? So here we are. It must have looked so rank. The whole family, like we're a big family, four kids. We're hiding behind this shrubbery, right? And this lady and her partner come sort of walking from the other side where they can clearly see us, right? But Nash on the other side can't see us. And it looks quite strange, a family hiding behind this shrub. So Kobe says, oh, look, we're just hiding from our boy because he was mucking around. And the bloke sort of said, oh, I just want to warn you, the rangers are about. I didn't know what they're talking about. And she goes, we said, what do you mean? Well, you can't have dogs at the national park. And our dog, as I said, is about the size of your phone. It's that small. And the lady goes on the attack saying, you can't have dogs at the national park. No national park in Australia can you have a dog. You shouldn't have your dog here. And she just attacks us. And look, we just didn't know. I don't know. Like, am I the A-grade of taking the dog to the national park, which is the size of your phone, or is she the A-grader for carrying on, or are we A-graders for hiding behind a bush as a family?
Sounds like there was two dogs already in the national park.
Yeah. But, I mean, from her point of view, like, I don't understand. We're in the wrong, clearly, if that's the rule. I still don't even know if that's the rules. But we're in the wrong, clearly. But at what stage of your life would seeing the dog the size of your hat, like, that could cause no issue in the world. Why does that get to people? What's wrong with people?
Wasn't she trying to give you the heads up that the ranger was coming?
No, the partner was giving us a heads up.
Oh, so you're happy with the partner?
So tick. Thank you very much. Right? But then she's played ranger herself and just gone on the attack on us.
Ranger Stacey.
So are we the A-graders for having the dog in the national park, which according to...
I didn't know that was a rule.
Right. I didn't know it was a rule.
Is it because of the King Henrys? Is that the only reason?
I don't know why.
Probably. Surely other animals do that.
Well, that's right. But what? I don't understand. But anyway, are we A-graders or is she? Both.
Could be 50% each. Well, let our listeners. Let's our listeners decide. 0457 736 736. Is the Kane family A-grades?
For hiding behind the tree, too. Anyway, Brian, what have you stumbled on?
Okay, I've stumbled across this kook. So there's a stand-up paddleboard. Look, I like anyone who gets out in the water. I've got no problem with that. But this bloke has been the last 3 days, and he's a stand-up paddleboarder, which, as I mentioned, got no problem with. But you can't continually paddle out the back because they're big and they get onto the waves quicker. So he gets his wave, and then he goes all the way back out and stays right out the back. And because he gets the momentum, he's just getting all the waves.
Yeah.
He also drives, and he's... After I saw him, it's made me even more angry because he's angry. He drives a convertible sticks his stand-up paddleboard on an angle like he's in Big Wednesday. He must be a real estate agent.
Yeah.
And he's a kook. And he wears his leg rope on his shin and he wears cozzies out in the water.
Can I ask one thing about real estate agents, right? For me... I just want to know why. I'm not suggesting A-grades, but is it the only profession that pay for themselves, like a photo, to be published all over the... Like when you go for a walk, right, and I said, right, there's a photo of somebody selling their business, would you say real estate agent immediately?
Yes.
But you're not seeing the plumber, or you're not seeing... Why is it the real estate agents who do that? And if they're doing it with great success, why is not every other business... slapping photos of himself everywhere.
It's all about the relationship, the personal relationship. You know, I've seen a lot of plumbers advertised, but they use models. Right. You know, in the back of the local rag.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They don't use them.
They don't use that. But for me, it'd be more impactful to have
big fat bloke with an RSL tan, big red bugle. Yeah, as I've liked.
Yeah.
Just that big visceral fat just protruding from under their overalls. Oh, what are you, Brooks? Who's your A-grader?
That sounds like my A-grade. No, I cyclists. I just keep having run-ins with cyclists, whether they should, like in Centennial Park, they divide the road up on the weekends and they're always on the walker's side.
Yeah.
They're always going to the cafe and one of them buys a coffee and the other nine just sit there with tap water, just hogging the area up. And it's a pandemic. Like, seriously, cyclists as a group, there's some really good ones out there, but generally, A grades.
We do visit the cyclists a bit. Welcome back to The Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. And we tune in, as we have been doing on a weekly basis, with one of the crew from SAS, thanks to Channel 7. And Yana Pittman joined us this week. Some fascinating tales to share with us. And this, too, was a fascinating tale. Brian's traveller for a week. Well, let's just say it was return to sender. No doubt about it. Many, many TV screens last night had SAS on last night. It was a brutal edition of SAS. And I'm pleased to say that Yana Pittman, who played a big part in last night's show, is on our program. G'day, Yana.
G'day, g'day. How are you guys?
How are you doing, Yana? How are you enjoying watching everything back and seeing how it all plays out?
Last night was a little hard to watch, I have to be honest. Alicia Mollick and I have been friends for a long, long time, so you don't realise how brutal and raw it was until you actually watch it back.
Here's a mother of four taking on. Imagine, how old are the kids, Yana, and did they get to see it?
The little ones fell asleep for that, thank God. they were 4 and 6. I've got a 10-month-old now, 4, 6, and the 14-year-old watched and apparently was pretty proud from his mates. But I'm like, mate, I don't want you to think this is what mummy does.
So, Yana, the trainers, did they put you against Alicia, or you had to pick your opponent?
We were the last two sort of standing, and we were perfectly matched in size. So it made sense. I didn't realise she'd done quite a bit of boxing before too. So in all truth, I went in there thinking, let's go a little bit gentle here. We just watched Pete Murray's arm get broken, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought, we'll just, do a little bit of show punching and get through it. And she came at me like a million miles an hour, and I was seeing stars within the first 30 seconds. And unfortunately, when you're an Olympian, that's a bit of like a pit bull to a rag. So...
And how long did it go for? How long did it go for? Yeah, because we only saw
about 3 or 4 minutes.
Wow, exactly. So it's like a round.
Yeah, she was killing me. Like, she was absolutely. And the guys afterwards, when we were talking about it, were saying that she was by far winning the fight for a long part of it. She's got a great arm, and she's fit as a fiddle. So it's just, it gets painted however they want on the telly, obviously. But it was hard to then have a friend who I was hoping would, go. She's capable of doing the entire 13 days. So it was hard to watch her go out. In a moment of, it happened so quickly, when you probably think later and think, oh, could have I done that differently? You watch Kerry Potter get smacked around like crazy and just stand her ground. So it was hard to watch.
When Channel 7 or the production company first approached you, you said, yes, I can't wait, or did you have to take a little bit of convincing to do it?
No, I wasn't in yes straight away. I don't know if that just makes me crazy or silly, but... I think, let's be honest, when you finish sport, you think you're an athlete for the rest of your life. It's a stark realisation that body can't do that anymore, but somehow the brain still feels like it can. So it seems like the most incredible challenge. And my brother was a soldier in Afghanistan, and I've got a lot of people who have done the true SAS selection course. And I thought, what a wicked opportunity to have a small insight into what they went through. So for me, it was almost an instantaneous yes.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. What a family. So did you mention that to the DSs? Did you say... you had a bit of a connection with the SAS?
At some point in the course, yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I've just subsequently joined the Army Reserve.
How many hours in the day for you? Now you've got four children, you're a doctor, and now you've joined the Army Reserve.
Start having a go, will you?
Yeah.
Only as a reservist.
Not as a
full-timer. I just loved it. I loved the experience of the show. As you say, there was really components of it that were really confronting. Obviously I can't say how it goes in the end, but to me it brought a real different side of me out, and I really valued the opportunity to learn more about myself, and it was just extraordinary. And so I'd like to be involved in that as a medic. Obviously, I want to be a doctor in the army and go out and do, disaster zones and help out.
For example, they said, righto, here is you've got a couple of nights away with a couple of mates from SAS. After it's all said and done, who are the two that you would choose to have a night out with or a nice dinner with? Who would you choose?
Males or females?
Either. Just people who you connected with.
It's hard. Well, it's hard. Emma Husser and I, we talk almost every second day. So did Kerry Potter and I. We're all planning to go up and stay with Jess Paris up north in Northern Territory. I'm planning to go down over Christmas if the borders open and hang out with Flip and his family, Mark Philippoussis. Sam and I spoke yesterday. I think one of the most beautiful things that's come out of this show is we've made some lifelong friends. It's been wonderful.
Okay. On the other side of the coin, is there someone you're not contacting or emailing?
Not really. Honestly, in this group, there are people that are engaging more with each other. We don't hear as much from Bryn anymore. I think she's went out earlier in the course, but majority of us are staying in contact and really supporting each other through the ups and downs. Obviously, different people are getting portrayed in different ways. Kobe and I speak quite a lot. I really rate him. I think he's an extraordinarily honest, wonderful, wonderful human. So it's an eclectic group of people, very, very different, but we're all quite driven and I don't know, we just seem to get each other.
The Kobe incident, he's come out, and as you said before, sometimes the directors can cut around it. Because are you saying that, what side of the fence were you on? Did you think Kobe meant to cheat, or it was just an honest mistake?
An honest mistake from my perspective. He is a genuinely honest, real, raw guy. Like he openly admits he's got ADHD and he probably lost count and he was counting in groups of 15. So I just can't, I mean, he's competitive, don't get me wrong. You even saw that last night. He said, I went out there to win. He's probably the most competitive on the show. Like he really, really pushed himself and thought he was the gun right from the beginning, which he was. He is an outstanding athlete. But he also had a heart of gold. Like that, they don't show that side of him, but every night he was talking to me about his son and his beautiful wife and the family that he prioritises in his life. Like we are definitely seeing different people's characters built, obviously, because that's what puts bums on seats to watch the show. But his honesty and his rawness, to me, therefore, wouldn't be able to lie. I can't see how those two can be put in the same context.
Right.
So Dan Ewing's not going to get started dinner. Or... Okay.
I don't have
So, Gibbo, hit the travelling music. Sort of like a Brian. Okay, Brian's Traveller. Astonishing reason New South Wales prison escapee on the run for almost 30 years hands himself in. So anyone who watched Tracy last night will know what I'm talking about. So a man who has been on the run since escaping from prison 30 years ago handed himself into police. So Darko Desic broke out of Grafton Correctional Centre on the night of August 1, 1992. He'd done 13 months. He had a 3.5-year sentence. There'd be 6 on the top, 4 on the bottom. on Sunday, September 12, he handed himself into police. So for 3 decades, what he was doing, so for the last 29 years, the 64-year-old had been living and working as a labourer doing cash-in-hand jobs on Sydney's northern beaches.
Wow.
But the coronavirus pandemic hit him hard and he was made homeless. So the folding dried up.
Yep.
Couldn't go on JobKeeper, so he thought, what am I going to do? So he went and confessed that it was him. And like I in this day and age...
Get me back in there, he said.
So he said he's been living in Avalon, just doing labouring odd jobs for cash almost 3 decades.
Wow.
But he's been completely law-abiding, never come under our attention because he didn't care. Coppers didn't care. And he's never been spoken to. He told us he never caused anyone any trouble, so no one looked at him twice.
So what happens from here?
Now he goes back into... I'll tell you what happens now. Desic was charged with escape as an escapee from lawful custody and faced court on Tuesday where he was formally refused bail. He's set to face court again later this month. So I will come back to you with what he got.
See, a lot of people are saying that they shouldn't let him back in, right? Which is just ridiculous. But if you don't let him back in, then clearly he would be motivated to...
He was only growing some pot.
Yeah.
Pot's gone downhill now, so he's...
Imagine if you're in jail and you've done a very long, like a long sentence about, you know, let's say you grow marijuana or whatnot, and then marijuana becomes legal. Would they all be released? But
nah, because it was at the time.
It'd be tough being in for something that is now being made legal.
Yeah.
That'd I wonder how he got out of jail. I reckon he should write a book.
Yeah.
I'd buy it. Don't worry about going back in the nick.
Podcast?
Podcast it.
Yep.
Under a different name. How did you escape?
Let's get him
Desic.
In.
Darko Desic.
Let's get Darko in.
I don't know if we can get him whilst he's...
Proceeds of crime.
Yeah, he's in the... So once he's done or not done, we can speak to him.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. It was Fletchy's financial, fiscal, futures, whatever you want to say, starting with F. It was there. Dean Russell, the luminary of LIS. And have a listen to this. Working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing. First Point Mortgage Brokers, no more pretty sure. Be Certain has us covered for all the Fletchies fiscal financial futures.
Yes, so forecast. Oh, just before I get into this one, the Sparty reminded me of the 0055 number. So in about the early 80s, my brother got a job as a courier in the city. You know those courier jobs?
Yep.
But it was all a ruse because what he was told to do, this is when the 0055 numbers came on. So he answered a job advertising, a job advertisement, and he went in, chat. Their job was to go to those big buildings in the city. And in the old days, they had the dial-up phones.
Yeah.
So they'll go to the security and they'd say, or the girl at the front desk, say, oh, I've got a message for a Bob, level 44. And they would always go, oh, there's a phone over there. You ring up. So what they'll do, they go 0055, whatever the number, and then leave it off the hook.
Oh.
And then go to the, so it'll just keep ticking over.
That was their job.
That was their job.
Gotcha.
They'd go to the next high-rise, do exactly the same thing.
Wow.
So they were just leaving phones off the hook. And waiting for someone else, but no one would ever use them.
No.
They were the ones in the lobby.
And you're paying per minute.
And it was big money back then. It was like $2.
Yeah.
So the 0055 companies had employed these young kids to go around.
Oh, yeah.
So building after. And then, obviously, they've disappeared. Anyway, that was a bit of news. but this is news. We wonder why the Melbourne Storm are where they are now. So this is come from a official press release from the Melbourne Storm. We couldn't be the club we are today without your support. It's been overwhelming. That's why next year we are pleased to announce your membership is on us, your club, the Melbourne Storm. In recognition of the commitment and support you have given us over the last 2 years, we want to give something back to you. So all 2020 and 2021 members who live in Victoria and who had match access passes as part of their membership will get their 2022 membership free.
Good.
So there's over 28,000 members.
Ooh.
It's going to cost them in revenue anywhere between $1.5 and $2 million. That's what's costing them in the sense that the...
based on the current rates.
Under $55 to $75. I've done my research. So what an absolutely outstanding club.
Too
both
smart.
On and off the field.
Too smart,
Brian. Because what will happen now...
Yes.
Now they'll get other members.
You're picking up what I'm putting down. No, and what also happens is... that a lot of people see when people are members of whatever it is, when they unsubscribe, it's very hard to get them back on, right? So what they know that the Melbourne Storm, they go, okay, now let's keep them as members, right? Because we know by keeping them as members, when the renewals come up, you almost feel obligated to go, well,
absolutely.
This one was on the house.
Obrigado.
We're in for the Melbourne Storm. Too smart. Well done, Melbourne
Storm. And I've
got
a number here. So if you're keen, 0055-616-515.
Oh, yes. They'll get that back in no time, won't they?
On Drive with Joel and Fletch, it's time for Choose List Tuesday.
Yes. Okay, Brian. So yesterday the news was around Manny Pacquiao, who is running for presidency, which you are declaring, aren't you?
Philippines.
Yes.
Landslide.
98%.
You might not get any votes in Clark.
We've made it too easy for the Luminary.
Mm.
So what we're going to do today is, in fact, Luminary, are you there?
I am, boys. How are you?
Very good. We're going well. Now, what we're going to do for you, and we're going to challenge you. 196 countries there are, Dean, and we're going to announce a country, and we want you to immediately come up with who you think an athlete, like Manny Pacquiao going for the Philippines presidency, who could lead their country. I'll kick it off.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out Switzerland.
Roger Federer.
Good.
Now, I'm a massive Roger fan when it comes to his tennis. However, Switzerland always stays neutral.
Mm.
And Roger, even though he's massively popular all around the world, has always been a little bit vanilla when it comes to controversial issues.
True that.
So he seems like a pretty good fit for that. I think what's his wife's name? Miroslava? She'd be a bit like Hillary. I don't think she'd be much like Jackie Kennedy. So I'd have Roger as president of Switzerland.
Pass Mark Fletch.
Yeah. When you say Hillary Swank?
Stop it.
Okay. Look, this could be controversial.
Okay.
You could go one way or the other. There's only two.
Okay.
India.
Ooh.
Virat Kohli. Have to go Virat.
Oh.
He's already a god in India, so he might just simply bypass the presidency. He's really massively popular in that nation. He's fierce, uncompromising, has a win-at-all-cost character. He's the youngest cricketer ever to have grandstands named after him. He's actually got an, if I'm right, I think he's got an animated superhero television series in India, Super V, which talks about him as a teenager. In 2018, he was named one of Time magazine's most 100 influential people in the world. Has the Bollywood wife in Anushka Sharma. And he could probably follow Mohammad Azharuddin and Sachin Tendulkar into politics. They both have brief stints over there.
Go, yeah. You go another one, Fletchy.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go Australia. Yesterday, I said AB, Pugsley.
Oh, no. Australia. This bloke, Paddy Mills.
Oh.
Born and bred in Canberra. He's a Torres Strait Islander. He's of Aboriginal Australian descent, so he already has the perfect pedigree to become a politician who can heal a nation. Mm. He's already shown ability to wheel and deal. He was the driving force over in America to have in the NBA to have their Indigenous Day. He's launched an Indigenous Basketball Australia program to help Indigenous kids and athletes turn their passion into a career. Which already adds to his established foundation, which I think is called Team Mills. And he's also working on a thing called We Got You Project that fights social injustice. Always been an advocate for inclusiveness. Doesn't matter about people's background, he always wants people in society to be inclusive. And you only had to look at him at the Olympics, leader of Team Australia, leader of the Boomers. You could see the passion he has for the not only his heritage, but for our nation as a whole. He has an American wife. He played basketball in China with the Xinjiang Flying Tigers, so he could be the peacemaker with everything that's going on in the world at the moment. So vote one, Paddy Mills for PM.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. And we had the great pleasure of catching up with Royce Simmons, who signed out in style 1991, two tries. The Panthers claimed their first ever premiership. And we reckon we spoke to him almost to the minute when he lifted that trophy 30 years ago. Sparty in What F World, we caught up with him. And who was Bruce'n? So I reckon it was about to this minute, Fletch. And this is the music they ran out to on their way to their maiden premiership. Makes the hair stand up. Tell you what, we've kept him waiting. But now he's about to take his team out onto the Sydney Football Stadium and ultimately score two tries. His name is Royce Simmons, and he's on Drive with Joel and Fletch on SEN. G'day, Royce.
Hey, boys. You wouldn't credit this. I've just had a bet at Belmont, and the horse was called Just a Midi. If it was called Just a Schooner, it would have won. Second or third.
No.
Fell short.
Do you remember this tune, Royce?
I can't say I can, mate.
So, Royce, those two tries were your only two tries for that season. Is that not just the most remarkable thing? And, mate, what a way to go out. How did you feel leaving the Sydney Football Stadium in that manner?
Mate, it was hard disguising it all year, me tacking powers. I could have used them any time during the year, but I thought, well, let's keep them for the last game and use them there. And I remember the morning of the game, actually, everyone sitting around their rooms, you know, waiting for the bus to come pick you up and all that sort of thing. Everyone's pretty nervous. Was on the telly, you know, all the lead up to it and all that. And they said no hookers ever scored two tries in a grand final. And Gus walked past the room, I heard him mumble, and that won't change the day.
Royce, do you recall the speeches from Phil Gould at the time? Either before, in the prelim final, of course, you went past the Bears having scored fewer tries than them. You went straight into the grand final. But what's your vivid memories of your coach at the time?
Yeah, well, I can't put a lot. Obviously, Gus is one of the best coaches of all time. You know, his record just stands up for that. That year was a pretty tough time for me personally. I never played I never got to be with Gus or the team too much because I had a few injuries that year, and I think I only played about seven games. So I spent a lot of time, seven or eight games. I spent a lot of games, sidelined and training on my own and so on because of I did an ankle in the final of the KB Cup or whatever they used to call it at the time in the pre-season, and then tried to play a few weeks later and done my ankle again, and got a few weeks off and done my ankle again. So then come back, and the first grade side was flying. So I ended up playing five or six, maybe more games of reserve grade before I finally got my way back into the first grade side, I think about 2 or 3 weeks before the, it could have even been the last, I think it was the last round against Balmain. So I only played about 7 or 8 first grade games that year. And I didn't, probably played 4 or 5 reserve grade games to get myself fit again for that. And I remember, and I got to the stage where I thought, I'm not going to get back into this side because they're winning every week and winning well. And I was sitting on the bench most weeks. Back then you played reserve grade and sat on the bench, obviously. So it was the last game. Gus came in to me and he said, look, you know, I want you to come back and lead us out this week. It's your final game on Penrith Park and all that sort of thing was, you know, it was, I remember that clearly, that talk, because it was, you know, to say that I was going to play my last game at Penrith, which meant so much to me. And he said, you're going to play the whole game. And start the game, you're going to finish the game, and it's, you know, it's time for you to come back sort of thing. So that was real confidence building thing for me, to come back in and play that game. And I kicked a goal that day, nearly killed a trotter, you know, over over at Penrith, up the trotting track. Hit it sweet. They give me a shot in front to go after the bell.
The old saying, you had to lose a grand final before you can win one. So 1990, obviously the Raiders get the cash, but then the following year you guys turn the tables. Do you believe that? Because sometimes, I suppose these days, not really, but what about back then in the early 90s? Did you think that you weren't ready in 1990?
No, I think we thought we were ready, but we probably didn't. We didn't handle a week that well. I think personally, I probably handled it all right because I knew it was, you know, coming to the end of my career at that season, only one more left. So, but, you know, the whole system, you know, after we realised we're in the grand final, you know, they had parades up the street, you know, things like that, you know, they celebrated this and celebrated that. Well, we'd won nothing, you know, where the following year when we made it again. There was no parades up the street. There was, you know, and I remember Mal Meninga even saying the second year, he said, I could tell the difference with the Penrith boys sitting in the breakfast you go to
grand final
during
breakfast,
the week. Yeah. He said, I could tell the difference at the grand final breakfast that these boys were on the job, where the year before they were sort of cackling and laughing. I remember me and Mal talking about that, and, you know, so what we learned is, in my opinion, is what pain you go through to lose one. And I think to myself, well, you don't want to go through that again. You know, I remember after the game when we were beaten in 1990, you know, it was embarrassing. You're sitting on the football, you know, on the field crying. And when you finish crying, you get up and you walk in and you hide under a shower and you cry again. And, you think everything, your sporting world's sort of finished. I know personally the second year I thought, well, I don't want to go through that again, you know, the memories of that. So, you know, you pick up how to handle the week before. I think there's a lot of things around the footy that you need to handle. Not so much game day, but a lot of things around it you need to learn. Maybe your side's a bit more experience than, again, that Penrith side. 90 had quite a few boys in the side, about 20, you know, 23, 24, you know, that probably you haven't played a lot of representative football or semi-final football. So maybe it is the case, but, you know, I think it just probably depends on how you handle everything else. Probably not so much the game, but everything else around the game, which leads you into the game that you go in with the right, you know, attitude and atmosphere around you, you know.
Where you keep your Rolling Stones records, and a friend of Sasha Distan.
It's time for In What World with the Doyen of Talkback, Sparty.
But where do you go to, my lovely?
Oh, yes, Spartman. Good afternoon.
When you're alone in your
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding.
Sparty, we'll you're in the car today, I can hear.
Mm.
No, no, at the desk on the hands-free. Is it okay or not?
That's fine. It's fine.
Okay. So, gentlemen, we have unprecedented times, and that calls for an unprecedented version of IWFW/FA, FIB, absolution.
Mm.
We need people to cleanse their soul, and this wonderful show is the conduit for that to happen.
Yep, totally agree.
There's a lot going on at home with the, you know, people are in lockdown. Everyone's getting on everyone's nerves. Got a lot of time to think about the sins of the past, Brian. Would you like to kick off?
Yeah, look, I was thinking about a lot of things that I've done, mostly as a child, or as a kid. So I was 9 years of age, and me and Zachary Higgs. Now, Zachary Higgs lived opposite me, and we would hang out. We were part of the Silver Street gang. And what happened was we went, and as you do, we knocked off a pack of smokes. Mm. I would have knocked them off my older brother, and we went down to the Scout Hall in Bondi and proceeded to have a smoke.
Mm.
What happened next was not great. So we heard a ruckus, and the security guard or someone was coming, and we threw the cigarettes under the stairs. They were still alight. And there was all these old... Now, the Eastern Suburbs used to have a paper called The Spectator.
Mm.
And it's a bit like the Wentworth Courier of the, say, your classifieds and your local trade. Well, that had been there for a long time, apparently, because it was quite dry. Cigarette, boom. Scout Hall, gone.
So the Spectator was witness.
Spectator.
Your sin.
And but then I found out later that they were knocking the Scout Hall down because the new police station was going in. So I basically did the council a favour, really.
Public service. Thoughts? Well done, Brian. Thoughts Congratulations. Oh, yeah. And this is what happens when you cleanse.
I feel good.
Well done. Yeah, good on you. Joel, please
articulate
your story of woe.
Yeah, I pride myself on being a straight shooter, Sparty, and probably because I was scarred from an incident many years ago. I've only ever won one thing when it comes to a raffle, and maybe this is why. Maybe it's the karma gods of raffles teaching me this, but it was a Blue Light Disco many years ago in Lake Cardjelligo, and my mum was organising it, and I had manipulated the raffle so that I would win. So I won that way back in probably the late 80s, I suppose, at Lake Cardjelligo, the Blue Light Disco. The worst part is that this is a raffle karma because I hated the Bengals and it was a Bengals cassette tape which I won. So a little bit of karma there, but I'd like to come clean that I did manipulate the raffle back in said time. Yeah, I do feel better
for that. Thank you, Joel. And next time when you're driving home and you've got 2WS on and Walk Like an Egyptian comes on, you will feel cleansed.
I will feel
like a new man.
Yes.
Well done to you, sir. May I add mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Now, this is on the cusp of a bruising, but I don't care. In 1987, Liverpool Boys High were trying to be the first school to win the Allen Davidson Knockout Cricket Shield 3 years in a row. No other school had done it at that point. They have since, you know, Westfield and all that's come along. And we won the final, and I was in year 9, and my brother Griff was in year 12, right? Now, I'll just give you the stats. Someone took 4 for 20, 30 not out and 2 catches in second slip, and he was in year 9. And someone got 62 not out and 2 catches behind the wickets, and he was in year 12, and at that point already playing first grade cricket and for, you know, New South Wales under 17s, etc.
Yeah, don't let me down, Bruce.
The Man of the Match award was given to the person who isn't me, and it was a county cricket bat. And I would like to today. I would like to say I am very, very sorry to Griff and my family for rubbing out the O and the Y on the county cricket bat. I shouldn't have done it. It was immature. It shouldn't have been done. And I apologise.
Yes, very good.
So, there's my absolution. And I feel better already. Mm. I can tell that everyone, with the exception of perhaps Gibbo, who needs to think about his bed wetting, sort of the way to stop it, isn't to drink more liquids, Gibbo. Yes. It just doesn't work, brother.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, and I'm hoping that this can be the conduit for others to actually sit back, take a look and say, you know what? It's time.
Yep.
Today, it's time I need to feel better. Don't bring me down.
Ah, yes. Now, we have been to the name change department. Brucing is in ING. We've sacked that because if you Google it, it's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about Brucing.
Yeah.
So B-R-U-C-E'N, Brucing.
Brucing.
Australian term, where a person leverages off another person or event to really make it all about them and the original, the OG Brucer, who owns it. And that's what we love about him, Fletch. The great man, Zach Bailey's on the line. G'day, Zach.
G'day, Sugar. G'day, Fletch. How are we, mate?
Hello, Zachary. I'm good.
Take us through what unfolded in your social media world this week.
Well, I try and stay off the socials, but, Sugar, it's hard when I am a Brucer, and I try my best to catch people Brucing. Mm. And like I think I said a couple of weeks ago when you had me on, by the way, I thought I'd get my next phone call from you gents in 2022, so it's great to be back on air with you guys. But awards season, whether it be Emmys or whatever they're called over in the States. Thank God they're on at the moment. You know, a lot of people are around. But the NRL Awards, the AFL Awards season, great time to Bruce. And the great Sarah Jones from Fox Footy, she's a great operator down there. Ollie Wines, the winner. As soon as he was announced, bang, Instagram. Shout out to Ollie Wines. But it wasn't on the night. Mm. It was an interview from years ago.
Yeah. Okay, in the photo,
so she's
In the photo, Zachary, is Sarah in said photo? Ooh, yes, Bruce.
She's in the photo.
Guilty.
Read the font, please, Tex. Fletch.
Who's Tex? Tex Hoy. Well done, Brownlow medalist. Such a proud moment. Oh, for my hometown. Gotcha. A coocha.
That's a brilliant Bruce, isn't it?
You got.
It is. It's one of the best. And like I said, for anyone listening to this, if you've got any photos of Tom Trbojevic or any photos of Nathan Cleary or any Cam Munster, whoever it is, whoever takes out awards, Clive Church or whoever wins the premiership, whoever wins the AEM medal next Monday night, be ready to Bruce. I've been through the archives. I did an interview with Nathan Cleary a couple of years ago. I'm ready to go if he was to win it. Turbo, I wasn't down there in the Corso that night that he had a race against Harry. I wish I was.
Mm.
But see, Harry could bring that back out if Tommy wins. That would be sensational, Brucing. Yeah. If he shares that again and he takes the headlines again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll tell you something about Harry. Yes. We approached Harry to do a skit, segment with Hindy. He said, speak to my manager.
No.
He wanted money. They wanted $1,500.
No.
Harry,
see,
you're an A grade.
No.
You've got to play
that. That's perfect time to Bruce. I mean, it'd be funny to see now how he'd go Fletch because he'd want the limelight again.
Thanks for listening to The Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. And don't forget, we're on daily, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., however you're listening to your radio or however you listen to your podcast or the app.